Hello, everyone. Welcome to Let's Go Up Podcast Edition,
where we explore the mysteries of the Kingdom of Heaven.
We're your hosts. I'm Deanne.
Deanne, and I'm Caritas.
Yes. Love the emphasis there.
Yeah, thanks. Just aggressive, angry. People always say, did I say your name right when they call my name out? And you're asking me that question, I'm going to give you the honest answer. I'll say, right would be more aggressive, more angry.
Okay.
Some of them go with it, and they actually try, but most just walk away awkwardly.
Well, Caritas.
Fine. The anger was there.
Today's topic, entanglement.
Yes.
We're going to talk about union with Jesus on steroids.
Oh, yeah. Well, we touched a little bit on it last week with the Easter episode, you know, just like one in Christ, risen with him, entangled in him.
Yeah. So that's where we're going today.
Love it.
We're going up.
We're going up.
So if today's podcast is encouraging to you,
hit like or else.
Please. There's like, there's subscribe. Notification bell if you want to be notificated. Our website, Caritas.
Let'sgoup.us.
We've got some new things on there, new blogs every week. That's growing.
Yeah, we're hip. We're with it.
Especially because you have a baseball cap on today.
I know. Yes. I don't really follow this baseball team. But
just a second, that's not a baseball team. Isn't that the Vancouver Canucks?
Yes. Oh, yes. I'm Canadian. I should watch hockey, shouldn't I? You know, I don't really watch hockey, but the fact that they play it, I respect that. And they get paid $90 million to play it. I respect that.
Who could get paid that much to slap a little rubber thing around on a hockey rink? You're right. It is kind of incredible, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm like, where did I go wrong in life?
You should have started with the ice baths when you were a kid.
Did you not get paid the $90 million for your hockey games out on the ice with your bus that we heard about last week?
No. We didn't get paid at all. And some of us lost our teeth. Puck in the mouth.
Yeah.
Not so good.
Not so good. You know, and if you're wondering what we're talking about, Dean shared last week
that's
at Easter.
Right. We talked about being on the ice
with hockey and a school bus.
That's right.
Yep. So tune backwards to find out more.
This is right at the beginning. They won't have to go far.
Yeah. But we are into spring. It is April. The birds have returned.
Mm-hmm. We have thousands of them of all different kinds. You know, I have a niece. Her name is Tanis. Tanis, if you're watching.
Shout out. Woo.
And her husband, Jared, she loves to watch birds. When she comes here, she has an app on her phone. The first thing she does is go outside onto our balcony and go like this. And all of the sounds of the birds, she looks at it and it tells what all the different birds are in the area.
What?
It picks up on the sounds of them and it
knows
what they are.
Technology. It's crazy. Wow.
You know how some people go on a fly-in fishing trip?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's going on a bird-watching trip.
Yes, I love it.
A couple of months.
You live your entire life completely indifferent to birds. And then one day you wake up and you're like, is that a red-necked warbler? Like completely into birds. When does the shift happen where you start noticing birds in your life? There's a line. I'm noticing birds in my life. I've crossed that line. Maybe not as far as Tanis. I don't have an app yet. And I don't go on bird trips yet. But knowing that those two things exist.
Mm-hmm. Well, birds are very interesting. So as far as spring goes, you already told me about when you picked your neighbor's flowers.
They were wildflowers, okay? They were growing wild and free. No one owned them.
You picked the neighbor's flowers and try to give them to her as a gift.
In the tundra of Iceland. Somehow.
Where things don't grow.
Yeah.
At the farm right now, everything is blooming out. We will be getting bees in a couple of weeks. Everything is fragrant and beautiful.
You could pick some bouquets.
Blueberry flowers, though, they're tiny.
They're little cute little things.
They look like a bell. You know, they kind of look like the notification bell, actually.
Hint, hint.
I wonder if that's where they got the idea from.
A blueberry flower, that's what you're going with?
I'm going with it.
That's theory number one. Remember, I cap you on like, what, four theories?
That's right. You started capping me on theories. That's right. I'm not going to count that as a theory quite yet. We still have a whole episode to go here.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of flowers, I have this friend who grew up in Ukraine. And when she was younger, she would sell bouquets of flowers on the side of the street. She's like, the flowers, you know, they wilt pretty quick and they start dying pretty quick. So we would cut the tops of the flowers off right away. And then we stick a match into the flower and then we'd stick the other end of the matchstick into a stem. And it would just give the flower the look of life. It's still sturdy. It's not wilting.
A matchstick?
Like some kind of stick, matchstick or something so that it's standing straight up.
Okay. I've never heard of that before.
Little matchstick flower scam of this little Ukrainian kid. She's like, it was great. Except when they'd walk away carrying the flowers down and then all the heads of the flowers fall off and they're not noticing because they're walking away and there's this trail of flower heads and they end up with just these sticks and leaves to take home to their girlfriend.
Well, it's kind of like buying some fruit at a fruit stand when they've hidden all the bad fruit in the bottom of the basket.
Oh, yeah. You see those people at Costco digging through the boxes of oranges and stuff. I'm like, they've probably had a bad experience.
Okay, you just had an experience at Costco you were telling me about.
The bleach. Oh, yes. Nathan asked me to buy some bleach. And so I'm at Costco. So I'm like, oh, there's some bleach. And I get some bleach and I bring it home.
Some bleach.
Some bleach. Costco size, like 4 jugs of bleach or whatever comes in the box.
Bulk.
So bulk that I had to ask a guy to put it in my car for me. But anyways, I bring the bleach home and I tell Nathan, hey, your bleach is in the car. And he opens the door. What? I only need half a cup of bleach for what I'm doing. Well, you got 4 Costco jugs in one box.
Trust Costco.
So, well, he got his bleach.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
So, Caritas, how are we going to transition to entanglement?
Entanglement from bleach.
Yeah.
All right. So, Dean, what does the word entanglement mean? Boom. You like looking words up. That's my segue.
I can tell you where my inspiration came from.
Okay, there we go. That was smooth.
It is actually one of our worst transitions ever.
We're all right. We're all right.
We're good though, because it's a good day.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah 40:31. Those who wait on the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles.
Mm.
They will run and not get tired. Seems like I remember those days. They will walk and not become weary. The word wait is a very interesting word in Hebrew. Most Bible readers understand the word wait in the verse that we've just read to mean wait, hope for, or expect. Or they think that waiting on the Lord means passively sitting to wait for him and trust him.
I'm just waiting on the Lord.
That's right. However, the Hebrew word in this verse for wait, it's Q-A-V-A-H.
Chava. Use your throat. It's probably throatal.
Chava.
Chava.
And it means to intertwine or to be entangled. This is ooh-worthy.
Ooh. Ah. Intertwine and tangle. So those who intertwine and entangle.
Yes, they will renew their strength. They'll soar. So it doesn't just mean sitting around waiting. It means entangled, becoming entangled in
him. Yeah.
So even back in the Old Testament, they were talking about union.
Yeah, so even when you're in the waiting, you are just wrapped up
in him.
Oof.
Entangled, entwined. It has connotations of when you twist a rope together in strands.
Mm-hmm. That's where we're going.
We're going.
Okay.
It's a completely new slant.
It's not like a passive period. It's very active
and
alive.
Mm-hmm. It's alive and it's an intertwining of his heart and our heart, him in us, us in him.
Mm.
All the things that we talk about when we talk about union with the happy Trinity, those that wait, those that are entangled.
Yeah, you're not gritting your teeth, white knuckling in the chair while you wait for this to end or this to start. Yeah. You're entangled in a very happy, joyful, glorious union.
That's right. Oof. In that context, I can see now why your strength would be renewed to the point where you wouldn't get tired. Okay, so that is a mysterion right there.
Mysterion!
Yeah. You know, there are people who have spent time, you know, with the Father and intertwined with Jesus in union with him, and they don't even have to sleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard that. Some people have had these experiences where they can go through extended amounts of time without needing to sleep very much or at all.
Well, Jesus, you know what? I used to wonder this about Jesus. It would say he would be gone all night praying, and then he'd come back the next day and he'd like heal everybody in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, didn't he have to sleep?
Yeah, well, he took some disciples up in the garden, was it? And they kept falling asleep.
That's true.
And he's like, guys, seriously, come on.
Can't you just like wait for a few
they're
minutes?
They're trying. Obviously, they're trying not to sleep. I assume their schedule is quite busy during the day, healing and casting out demons and all such things. They're pretty beat. But there's Jesus just like, come on, guys, what?
So he was spending time in the glory and in the presence of the glory of God and in union with the Father, so intertwined, so entangled. He didn't even have to sleep. It renewed him to the point where it actually touched his physical body and gave him energy and strength that would normally come from sleeping. So then it also says they will run and not get tired. So that's extra human strength right
there. Yeah, hello. Give me some of that.
Mm-hmm. Entanglement.
Entanglement. You know the thing about being entangled? Have you ever had like a fishing line or hair? I know you used to have long flowing mullet, so you know.
I remember those days.
You ever have like a good solid tangle? That thing doesn't just come undone. It is very difficult to untangle a tangle.
Well, you know, you used to have very long hair. You would know.
Yeah, well, it can be quite a challenge. Sometimes you just need to like cut that little piece off. Just give it up. So that's like us with him. I think we think it's so easy, you know, to untangle from him, but it's a complex mixture. We're very much in him and he's in us. He's not letting go easy.
No. The synchronicity between...
Good word, Dean.
...us and heaven. You like it?
Synchronicity.
The amount of synergy.
Mm.
There's another word. That's the one I really wanted.
Okay, I like both, but synergy, feeling it.
The synergy between us and heaven when it comes to the union of us being in Christ and Christ being in us is so significant. We haven't even started to scratch the surface of what that means.
Mm-hmm.
It has so much depth and breadth and height and dimension to it.
Yeah.
It's the will of Jesus. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago, that we know him and that he knows
us.
Yeah. Our life is meant to be entangled with his to the point where we don't know where he begins and where we end.
Yeah. We're the purple, right?
That's right.
The new color, red and blue together. You're not red anymore, Dean. He's not blue. You're purple.
Thanks. I always wanted to be purple.
That's my grade three example that I like to whip out. Be like a child, you'll inherit the kingdom.
So I thought we could talk today about more depth of union, just what that might mean, what it might look like, our standpoint from heaven's standpoint.
Yeah, let's go there.
It follows right on the heels of the love story of the cross, and it started at the cross.
Yeah.
Jesus carrying us. Now we have this amazing gift given to us, this new birth that puts us in a place of oneness with Jesus, the Holy Spirit inside of us, intertwined with our spirit, inextricably intertwined with us, right?
Yeah.
I used another big word there.
I was just going to say, you're on a roll, Dean.
I think I'll stop now with the big words because I actually don't even know what they mean.
Sound really
stop smart. While I'm ahead.
Wow. Okay. Intertwine, entangle. I had shown you my new book I bought. You told me that your dad, when you were a kid, had the book of Enoch.
He did.
Because Enoch was mentioned quite a lot in the Bible and actually directly mentioned a few times.
Mm-hmm.
A little mention of him in Hebrews. Was it Jude who mentioned him?
Jude quoted from Enoch.
Yeah. So the Jews knew about this book of Enoch. Your dad knew about this book of Enoch.
Why did my dad know about it? I don't know. My dad knew about all these sort of strange things, these books. He would bring them into our house and try to tell people about them, and people would think he was crazy.
Your dad was an adventurer, though, right?
He was.
Like, he liked to discover and learn and grow, and he wasn't afraid of mystery, it sounds like. You know, you'd say that some new conference or group would come into the neighboring town, and you guys would all be packing up. Dad's like, let's go.
In the station wagon, away we would go.
Yeah. The excitement, right? You don't have to go in with this critical, like, are they right? It's just excitement. What if the Lord's doing something here? You know, why not? I like how Justin Paul says it. You're powerful to think differently.
Yep.
Your dad seems to have had that kind of...
He was like that. I'm so thankful for that legacy. That's kind of the spirit that I carry forward. So that's why I'm adventurous in the same way. I learned it from him.
Yeah. I think God is pretty wild and mysterious and adventurous himself, right? You just take a little look at creation. You're like, okay, you've got an imagination that's just out of this world. Literally.
No pun intended there.
No pun intended. I feel like he smiles and laughs as we get adventurous and curious.
So,
okay, so
inspiration behind your book.
Enoch, okay, we were talking about entangled. This guy, talk about entangled. Talk about waiting kavah on the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He walked with the Lord. Genesis, one of your faves. Enoch walketh, depending on what translation.
You're warming my heart right now.
Genesis.
You're in my book.
Genesis 5, Enoch walked with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. Mm. Walked with God. That word, he didn't just passively sit there. He walked.
Just a second here. So the very end of this verse that we just read, they will walk and not become weary.
Oh, yes.
That's the very end of it.
Okay.
They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not faint or not get weary.
Okay, so this Enoch walked with God in a time when the world was pretty rank. Like, we think it's bad now.
They were dealing with stuff that we have no grid for.
Yeah, just like gross on steroids. He was able to walk in that completely broken world, so fixated on him, so focused on heavenly reality, so at one with him that he didn't even die. God's just like, all right, well, you're already basically up here all the time. Hebrews 11, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he did not see death. God was just his daily pleasure and delight.
I feel like there are different saints in the Bible that are highlighted. Abraham, Moses, Joshua, David. And they all have a different type. But I feel like Enoch is a type of the new creation realities that we now have available to us in Christ, and he accessed them way before his time. He was alive in a very difficult time in the world, and he regained access to the Garden of Eden, which was shut off. Evidently, he went back into the garden, and he became friends with the angels and the watchers. He walked with God. You will read, as you read this book, some pretty crazy things. He started out by spending a certain amount of time with God, and it was like one day a week. And then it went to like 2 days a week, and then 3 days, and then 4 days. And then he decided he was going to spend 1 week out of every month entangled with God. And then that 1 week became 1 month out of every 2 or 3 months. Mm. And then that became a few months out of every year. Mm. And then at the end, it was like he would spend like 7 years with God out of 10 years. So it became more and more and more extreme to the place where he was so entangled and so one with the Creator. The Creator took him up and showed him the universe, showed him the cosmos, showed him the wonders and the mysteries of the kingdom, of the cosmos, of the dimensions of heaven. And the angels would ask him, Enoch, why do you want to see these things? Why do you want to know this? He'd be just like, just because I want to, because I'm interested, because it fascinates me, right? And he met Jesus, who is described in the book of Enoch as the Son of Man. He met the Son of Man before Jesus was even born into this earth. So he had direct contact with Jesus. And he's a type of our new creation reality. You know, we can now be one. We can have access to the Garden of Eden. We can have access to heaven. All of the things that he experienced. And in the end, he didn't experience death. And Gretas, let me tell you something. There are a lot of scriptures in this Bible right here that talk about death has been defeated. Mm-hmm. And I tell you a mystery, we will not all sleep. In fact, I made a list of them maybe about a month ago. I think someday we're going to do a podcast on that.
All right.
We're going to call it like eternal life.
Oh, because
we are coming into times where we're going to reign in life.
Whew.
And where life and immortality come to light, like in 2 Timothy, where it says life and immortality have been brought to light through the gospel.
Life and immortality.
That's right. There are a lot of scriptures if you start looking.
Mm-hmm.
They're in there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, death, where is your sting? Mm-hmm.
So this man, Enoch.
All right, Enoch.
He did it.
Yeah.
Way back then. Just because he fell in love with the Creator.
Mm-hmm. And guess what, Dean? We can too.
We can, and we are.
We can love him, and every moment of every day, every second can be beautiful when we are entangled in him. He's in every moment, cutting that cucumber, watching that dove swerve in front of your car on the highway. Right now in this moment, he's in this moment. It's like that awareness of bringing him into every situation. Mm-hmm. It's different than crying out for him to come into the situation. It's being aware that every situation and every encounter you have with anyone from the moment you get up to the moment you get up, even while you're sleeping, he's there and you're there. And we can be so entwined.
It's realizing how intertwined we are, how entangled we are with him. And realizing that, you know, heaven has come to earth and that heaven is inside of us. And wherever we go, he goes. There's no difference between these two worlds. We can step back and forth between these two worlds mm-hmm. just by leaning in. And there are a couple of statements that I ran across. A statement like, I'm not doing life without you, Jesus. I've started doing that lately in my work, because right now I have so many things swirling. It's such a busy year. There are things that need to be done that I cannot humanly accomplish on my own.
Yeah.
It's impossible. I get up every day and I say, I am not doing this without you. If I'm going to do this day, I'm doing it with you and you're coming with me.
Yeah.
And I'm going with you. We're entangled.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens to me happens to you. And what happens to you happens to me. And you know what my experience has been? I've noticed uncanny coincidences happening, things that I could not make happen on my own. And I think it's because Jesus doesn't want to work that hard. Jesus yeah. is into rest, you know?
Yeah.
He's a good person to be yoked together with because yeah. he does it in rest. Mm-hmm. So that means I get to do it in rest. Mm. I'll come to the end of one phase of a particular project and the next one starts the next day. And I couldn't have made that happen if I wanted to, but the timing for everything is just lining up like dominoes.
Mm.
I'm realizing that when I am entangled with him and when I do this with him and in him, that somehow he's just making these things line up for me.
Yeah. You're enmeshed with the one who's got all the good connections.
He does have the connections.
All these created beings you see and don't see and angels and whatever else is out there.
That's another thing. You know, Enoch, he made friends with the angels, with unhuman beings.
It wasn't just like, do this for me. It was, hello there, Filippo. What would an angel name be?
Filippo?
Filippo. Hello, Filippo. How's it going?
How's it going today? Yeah, he was friends with them. Mm. And I feel like, you know, rather than us ordering angels around and trying to get them to work for us and do things, I feel like we should befriend them. Because we're all part of the big family of God.
Yeah, that usually works better in a relationship anyways.
You're right.
Not just using someone for what benefit they can have for you.
Good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm noticing that. And I'm noticing that when I entangle into the beloved, that he makes things work out and helps things work together. Not everything is always perfect, but if it's not, it doesn't matter. Because if I take a hit, he takes it too.
Yeah. Right. He's in there, right in there in the imperfection and mess with you.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not doing life without you. There's a verse in John that says, apart from me, you can do nothing.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so I refuse to do life apart from you because without you, I can do nothing.
Yeah.
And without you, I refuse to do anything.
Nice.
Right?
Yeah, snap.
Snap.
Yeah, and how you look in this situation, I want to look. I'm going to look because we're one.
I'm going to walk with you. Every step that I take, we're going to walk together.
Yeah.
We're doing this thing together.
Yeah. Union bliss.
That's right. And I'm also noticing that in that place, there comes a lot of joy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the frequency of heaven, right? Righteousness, peace, and joy.
Yeah.
So when you're walking in joy with joy, who's from the place of joy, you're now lining up with the same vibe. That same frequency. So it's probably easier and easier to be on page with the kingdom of joy.
Mm-hmm. I'm also noticing something about the presence of God, because I notice that when I'm in that place of union and entanglement and joy, that the presence is there and you can feel it tangibly as you go around your day. But I used to wonder what the presence of God was and what to do with it. Or what to do in it.
What do I do with this? I've got this presence here. Great. Should we sing a song?
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. You nailed it there. Okay.
I don't know. Build some tents maybe and spend the night. Get comfortable. I don't know. Didn't his disciples do that when they...
They did.
When they had that moment on the mountain or wherever that was. And who showed up? Was it Moses?
Yeah. Moses and Elijah.
Some dudes showed up. Yeah. Moses and Elijah. And they're like, let's build some tents here. And you know, that need to do something with it.
Yeah. A lot of corporate situations become like that, right? The moment the presence of God comes in the room, you know, the person in charge of the meeting will want to do something.
Yeah.
You know, the evangelist will want to get people saved. The prophet will want to prophesy.
Quick, before it leaves.
The person who has a gift of healing will want to heal in the presence. Yeah, why? Because, it's effective. Mm-hmm. However, the presence we know carries its own agenda. We don't get to do what we want or what's on our heart.
Yeah.
We have to yield to his heart. Oh, another thing that people oftentimes want to do in the presence is repent. Mm. I've seen that so many times. The presence of God comes, immediately they start looking at themselves. Mm. They feel dirty because the presence is so pure. And we have this knee-jerk reaction to notice our nakedness. We have our eyes on the wrong thing there. So yeah. God doesn't necessarily send his presence to us so that we feel guilty. So what is the presence of God? I've started to come to know the presence of God as an updraft.
Ooh, like the heat from a fire. So it's just the beginning. It's like, the presence is here. That's it. Accomplished. But it's just the start. Yeah, so the presence, it's not this finishing point. The presence has entered, or we sense the presence, or something's happening. It's this beginning. We've just started.
So an updraft or an upward call, let's say. If we're worshiping in a corporate setting and the presence of God comes into the room, what is that for? It's to call us up. Because when we lean into the presence and when we answer the call and when we go forward into the presence, it will always take us to heaven. It'll always take us up. So the presence of God is an upward call. It's an updraft. Mm. It's pulling us towards the Father. It's like got a homing beacon on it.
Yeah.
And we feel the pull in our hearts.
Because he's in us.
That's right.
So you gather all these other little new creation beings with the presence of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord in you, and your eyes are on him, you're glorifying him and ministering to him. You serve the master first.
Yeah.
You don't come in and serve yourself. You serve the master, right? And then when he's full, you eat.
I would say the presence of God is like a heaven magnet.
Oh, magnetism.
Yes.
You're looking against the force of the magnet when you're looking at yourself.
That's right. It's drawing us up. And so when the presence of God comes on a corporate setting, we should all be ascending into heavenly places together.
Yes. That's what a party.
That's what he wants. He's wanting to call us up. That's the trumpet sound. Come up here.
Come up here. Yes.
And I will show you things.
Here we're trying to find things and he's like, I'll just show it to you.
That's right. And personally, now when I sense the presence of God, I'm like, it's time to go up.
Mm-hmm.
We lean into that presence. We entangle into the union of the Trinity and Jesus and into the love, because the presence is the essence of love.
Yes.
And kindness and gentleness. Mm-hmm. We lean into the love, we're transformed, and we go up.
Wow.
Those who wait
will rise on wings.
On wings.
Soar high. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So we have this unique access into this place because of that updraft.
Yeah. I heard somebody say one time, lots of people would want the presence of God, but few will pay the price to host the presence. Paying the price to host the presence, what that means is giving up your agenda, right? Mm. You don't get to use it for your gifting. You don't get to use it for your purpose. Mm. It carries the kingdom of heaven with it. It carries an invitation to heavenly places, an invitation to union, an invitation to entanglement.
Yeah. It's like, reminds me of those virgins with the oil. You can't carry anything else. The ones that entered in, they carried all the extra oil. They didn't carry anything else. They didn't leave room for anything. Like a lot of people were seeking the groom. Only a few were willing to pay the price.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the oil of union.
Yeah.
So when we entangle, then we experience the updraft of love, the updraft of the presence of God. And then when we lean into that, then we are taken into a place of rapture and delight and bliss. All things that Enoch pioneered.
Yeah, wow. You know, it reminds me of that common scripture you hear a lot in Philippians about set your mind on things above, meditate on these things, whatever is true and pure. And you can read that 100 times, but when you read it through this lens of his presence or the awareness of our entanglement and the updraft, and you realize that hosting his presence is everything. Taking our eyes off of self, off of circumstances, off of whatever else is around, trying to pull our gaze of our mind or our heart away and just keeping it on him. People would say you could be too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. We've all heard that. But Enoch here pleased God with his obsessive heavenly mindedness.
That's right.
It pleased God. And I think that's the only way we can be of any earthly good.
Greatest thought was a mic drop. Mm-hmm. Just like that.
Yeah.
Can you say that again?
No.
No. Just boom. You just nailed it. Yeah. Mike's on the floor right now. Yeah. Direct face-to-face contact with Jesus. Mm. In the context of what we're talking about, this scripture kind of came to me this week in a completely different way. I'll tell you where it is. It's Isaiah 60. We've read Isaiah 60 a lot of times here.
I almost knocked our box of feathers. Dean still has this box of feathers.
Dove feathers.
From my dove. Isaiah.
Isaiah 60.
60.
We talked about this scripture just a few weeks ago. We did an entire podcast on light.
Yes, we did. Arise and shine, your light has come.
Okay. So arise and shine, your light has come.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're waking up, you're rising, you're getting out of bed, you're going to shine.
Your glorious nightgown and the glory of the Lord rises upon you.
Okay, what if that word arise means more rise, go up, rise, shine. Because you're going into heavenly places when you're rising. For your light has come, and now the glory of the Lord is going to rise on you.
Wow, so darkness, deep darkness covers the people. A lot of deception, blindness. But the Lord will arise over you.
Mine says he will rise.
He will rise. This one says arise. Mm-hmm.
So I think we kind of said arise, and we've put that in the context of us being asleep and rising. Mm. But I wonder if the word rise here means more ascend.
Mm. Yeah. And his glory will be seen upon you.
Rather than saying it like this, arise, shine, let's say ascend, and you will shine. And the glory of the Lord will rise upon you, and the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you because you're in heavenly places, and you're going to bring that glory, and you're going to release it here on the earth.
Wow.
And kings and nations will come to your light.
Whew.
Completely different context when you're thinking about it from the perspective of heaven.
Yeah, wow. Verse 5. And you will become radiant.
And your heart will thrill and rejoice. These are entanglement verses here.
Yeah, and you know, the people in deception who aren't seeing will see something on you. You're not trying to convince them in this theological debate why you're right and they're wrong. What they're not seeing, like, you don't go far in debates and arguments and discussions. Very much. There's this radiance when you have the radiance.
We are the radiant ones.
Mm-hmm.
Look at verse 8. Who are these who fly like a cloud, like doves to their lattices?
Wow.
So we're flying on clouds. We're like doves. And a lattice is a type of a portal, a window. This is all talking about ascending. When I was thinking about entanglement, all these verses kind of came crashing in on me, and I started seeing this entirely new picture.
Mm.
Oof. Okay. It's like just hold it for a second.
No, it's like, it's too good. Wow. We've just been so off for so many years from how we're meant to walk, that it sounds so foreign, but it's not. It's like you hear it and you've never heard it before, but something in you knows it, like this natural rightness to it.
Yeah, because we're all drawn with this big magnet to the heart of the Father. You know, he's got a homing signal in every single one of us, and we all know that that's the direction that we're supposed to go, but the devil convinces us that this earth is what it's all about.
Yeah.
It's just a realm that needs to be brought under the dominion of that one.
Mm-hmm.
And we are part of the solution, and we have the answer, and that is actually our home, not this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's way more in line with what we see in the life of Jesus. That's the life that we should be relating to, the life of a son of God.
Mm-hmm.
You are all children of God. He was normalizing something that we had never experienced and seen.
He was actually living not an extreme life. He was modeling what is supposed to be the normal new creation existence.
Yeah. Any reason or reasoning or rationale we have to not look like him in a certain area in our life is just deception. Anything that's saying that, well, that was Jesus and that's not me, that's deception. That darkness, that like not seeing, this is where entangling with him going up, he reveals things that you didn't even know were possible. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know it was possible to live like that and be like that. Well, Jesus did. I know, but I didn't know it was possible that I could live so much like him.
Mm-hmm. There's one more thing I think we could touch on here. It's an extreme thought once again, but it says in 1 John, I was thinking about this verse this week, 1 John 3, verse 2, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is."
Mm.
This verse, I've always looked at it in the context of, we don't really know exactly what it's going to look like, but when we see Jesus, we'll be like him because we'll see him for who he is.
Mm-hmm.
But let's put a new slant on this. Let's put a extreme entanglement, new creation slant.
Yeah, let's do it.
That's what we do here at Let's Go Up.
Yeah.
"Beloved, now we are children of God." So that's the now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. "And it has not appeared as yet what we will be." So that's future.
Mm.
"However, we do know one thing. We do know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is." Being like him is only one of the aspects that's included in "and it has not appeared yet" as what we will be. We have been created for something that is far beyond anything that we can imagine. There is a purpose for our humankind that has not even been revealed yet. We only know one part of it. We only know that when we see Jesus, we'll be like him. But there's a lot more.
Whew, yes.
There is an eternity of expansion and growth that we have been created for,
mm-hmm.
that nobody has even imagined yet. The immensity of what God has created and the purpose for which he created us, we haven't even begun to imagine what it is. It's an eternal purpose that is so grand. We've been created with a potential for such growth and expansion in our human spirit. There's no way that we can even imagine it or even think about it right now. "It has not appeared as yet what we will be." It's not even revealed. There is so much more. This life of entanglement and oneness with the Trinity, with Jesus, being like him is just the starting point for an eternal journey that will take us multiple dimensions in multiple different places, doing things and looking like something that we can't even fathom. So get ready for the ride.
Yeah, I feel like this is just like the appetizer. It's not the meal. It's not the full thing, but it's like this scrumptious taster.
To end this podcast today, we started off talking about Enoch. When you read through the books of Enoch, you'll see how the Father took him just out of a great love for him, took him all over the universe, took him into dimensions and places that he can hardly even describe. And it also describes how the Father poured into him things like love and peace, and the Father embedded him with things that enabled him to grow and expand way beyond who he was into something that rivaled the seraphim of heaven. He expanded into this amazing being, and that's who he is now, but he actually still relates to us as a human, just like Jesus. Jesus is exalted. Jesus is God. But he can still come and appear to me as Jesus because he has the ability to come down to our level, but he exists in that form. And so that's the same way with Enoch. The growth and the expansion of his spirit and his being when God took him. Once again, that's why I say Enoch is a type of the new creation in Christ, entangled on steroids lifestyle. I am very much looking forward to hearing your stories about your encounters with this realm as you read this book.
Mm.
I'm actually going to bless you into that because I've been through it and it has changed my life and my outlook on life in so many ways I can't even explain it. And I just release whatever, you know, has come onto me, onto you as you go through it. And I pray in Jesus' name that the Holy Spirit will lead you to the right places that make sense and that he'll give you the wisdom to understand it in the context of Christ. I bless your journey.
Oof.
All All right, so that's where we're going to leave it today. Okay. And we look forward to seeing you again next week. You know, I'm not even going to say we hope you enjoyed this conversation, because I know you did and we did.
Yeah, enjoy all your bird watching.
Yep.
Do you have a bird journal?
No, I do not. That's not to say that other people don't. And if they do, I hope you enjoy your bird journal.
May you be blessed in all your birding adventures.
That's right.
Have a good one.
Have an awesome week, everyone. Bye.